It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Leicester City have a penalty kick in the 6 minutes of injury time.
Knockout takes, Almunia saves, knockout follows in, Almunia saves again.
And now Watford are on the counter-attack.
Forestieri.
Oh, I don't believe this.
Here's Hulk, Deeney.
I do not believe what I've just seen. Troy Deeney has scored from a Leicester penalty that was saved by Almunia.
Do not scratch your eyes. Do not scratch your eyes. Do not scratch your eyes.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Well, what do you say about that? Justin, have you by any chance got a rusty church key on you?
I don't want to get into that.
No, we won't go there again.
I don't suggest that anybody drives for a while after watching that, because they're going to be a bit drowsy. That was crap. That was absolute crap. Can you see anything remotely good in that game, Peter?
Yeah, I think it's very doubtful that any member of the Watford supporters who were down there will be, you know, operating heavy machinery in the next hour. That's a good piece of news, because they were bored shitless. Oh my lord! I will tell you the most enjoyable thing for me, and I have to say this goes possibly rivals the pigeon that flew across the screen in the first half. During half time, because of my, shall we call it, online facility, I turned over and watched Robin's TV and their review of the first half. And this was a thing of unbridled joy, because you had a girl, the Emma Saunders equivalent, if you will, and you had some grizzled old Bristolian supporter bloke. And he clearly did not know what day it was. It was wonderful. And she turned around and she said, so obviously, you know, we've done quite well in that half, which, you know, from Bristol's point of view, they certainly dominated the game. Fair play to them, I think, really. And she said, but of course, we can't forget that the Watford don't have Ismail Assar or Yao Pedro playing. And said Bristolian person said, yes, I think we've kept them both really quiet this half.
And she kind of looked
at her notes and kind of looked at the screen and thought, let's just move on. But we all knew what was going on. It was and that was undoubtedly the highlight. Good grief.
Well, apparently that moves us up to fourth. And it does show that we can do draws, Peter. I wish I'd gone for the 1-1.
Because
at least then I've got some points.
You're being wise after the event again.
Well, yeah, I am. Yeah, of course I am. Yeah, of course I am.
No.
Have we got many people lined up to talk?
I'm sure we have a few people lined up to talk. But one thing I think we need to acknowledge is, yes, that is the kind of game that and the kind of performance where previously we would have managed to lose at Millwall, at Blackpool, and at least we didn't. At least we have picked up a point. At least we have got another clean sheet. So that's what, two on the spin. I know it's not much, and we're going now into this long break, but at least they didn't go and throw it all away. And I appreciate that Bristol City were not good. I mean, they were basically describing it as they're playing some of the best football they've played all season. By the fact that they had put the ball in the box a couple of times, and then they thought they'd got a couple of shout-outs for potential penalties in the first half. So at least we didn't, and I appreciate that's very, very low wattage. But that's
my... do we know why Gosling looked so fed up when he was taken off on the stretcher?
Well, I mean, obviously the news is we'll wait to see if it comes out. Quite often when somebody has nobody near them at all, and they go down, it will be ligament rather than muscular. And he wasn't in pain, which normally means it's like an instability in the joint thing. I hope it's not an ACL, anterior cruciate ligament injury, because it didn't look like that, and he would have been in an awful lot of pain had he done it. I think it was more possibly an ankle ligament recurrent, and he seemed just livid that it had gone again. It's obviously one of the things that's been kind of niggling him previously, and he's that seemed to be what it was. So hey, it's one of those. We take 0-0. Not much good to take out of that, but we shall see. Nonetheless, we shall see. No, we do have people, and we do have Uncle on the line. Uncle from Florida, Uncle Ron. Everybody, let's add him in as a speaker. Now the question is, and here's the excitement for everybody. Here's the jeopardy for the day. We get to ask Uncle whether or not he's walking the dog, if he's at home, or if he's lying by the pool. I presume he has a pool in Florida. We have no knowledge of Uncle Ron's Florida pool situation. Let's find out. Uncle, how are you doing?
All right. I do have a pool, but I'm not.
So he's just at home. He's just at home, everybody. We can tell he's not out with the dog. The dog's obviously looking at him going, come on. Come on, then. What did you think of that? What can you pick out of that?
A grotesque performance. Horrendous. And I'm angry, actually. I'm angry. I'm angry that Saar didn't start. And I've said this for a while leading up to this game. He's paid by Watford. These players are multimillionaires because they're paid by their club. Now, if FIFA ridiculously decide to hold a World Cup in the middle of the season, then it's irrelevant. He should have started the game and appreciate, and all the other players, actually, it's not just aimed at Saar, all the other players should appreciate that it's clubs who pay them. I'm angry about that. I'm angry that João Pedro didn't start. He has a month off after this game. Gosling, it looked like he had requested to come off before his injury, and that's why he was so furious.
So he felt something and thought he might go.
Yes, it looked like that, and we know that the Watford medical team, you know, is worse than Dr. Shipman.
I was going to say, there's your five-word review there. Uncle Ron has already said, medical team worse than Shipman. You'd remove the doctor because it would have taken over your five-word limit. I'd like to see what you did there.
Yeah,
we've questioned this before. It is a concern, definitely.
Yeah, it's been a constant theme, you know, these injuries and niggles that other clubs don't seem to suffer from. And then you've got, you know, there's other things like the set pieces. Absolutely ridiculous that the club doesn't have a set piece specialist. It's been years of that problem. You have Gaspar going off because he can't manage 90 minutes. I said that.
Was it because of 90 minutes, or did he just want to change that to bring on Zhao as an attempt to kind of go for it? And I would have thought that Gosling, you know, If he had the niggle there, then he would have been the obvious choice to have taken off. That's probably, as you say, his frustration. But it depends, I suppose, when he got that niggle.
Possibly, but you know, I don't rate Gaspar. I think it was ridiculous he was given a 2-year contract. The owner in this window has to bring in a right back and a creative midfielder as a matter of urgency if he has any desire whatsoever for the club to get promoted. Otherwise, it's going to be playoffs at best.
Well, we're up to fourth, so we'll see. I mean, I have to say, I've not been impressed with the rest of the Championship very much at all. I haven't seen anybody who's got anything approaching our front line, potentially. But I grant you that the word potentially is doing a lot of heavy lifting in that sentence. I was going to ask you that, and so we've got that. So Ron's saying we need a right back and we need a creative midfielder but presumably not just a player in the hole. Who would you be looking to kind of, if you're bringing in somebody to replace somebody in midfield, who are you also looking to replace?
Well, a replacement for Loser, because we don't know when he's back. It might not be until April. So a replacement for him. And I'd also say we desperately need a poacher as well.
I agree with that. I agree with all of that. I'm going to ask you one more question, Uncle Sir. Pick any player at all. And we've now gone into this month-long break before we get to play Hull and the glamour returns. One player, your Slaven Bilic. You're going to give one player one piece of advice. Okay, and then we're going to ask everybody else so you can all get your thinking caps on. One player, one piece of advice. What player would you choose and what piece of advice would you give him so that when he comes back in a month's time, he's up and roaring?
For starters, score a few goals in the own goals in the group stages so that Senegal are knocked out as early as possible and he can return and concentrate on playing for Watford and getting them promoted.
There you go. There is the high bar, everybody. That's what we're looking for. I didn't even have to say it could be serious or otherwise. You know, Ron's gone with the serious side there of making sure that Senegal exit the World Cup early and we get our player back. Well done, Ron. Well done, Ron. Is there a Sunday service anytime soon or during the break, or are you on hiatus?
We are on hiatus. Yes, yes.
Ah, fair enough. Well, we look forward to having you back. We will be doing other shenanigans during the break. So do come and join us when you can, sir. There he is. There he is over there, luxuriating in hot weather, having his pool and occasionally taking the dog for a walk. So there's the advice that he wants to have. He wants own goals from good old Ismaïla Sarr so that he can come home early. You know, don't come home too soon, they say. I don't think Ismaïla can return soon enough as far as Ron is concerned. Right, guys, we will be coming to everybody to find out. And what we want is, what position should we be recruiting for? I know we're not quite at that stage yet, but we're at that kind of hiatus period. And what would be your advice? You step into Slaven Bilic's shoes, you pick one player aside and you give him a piece of advice to get him going for when he's back. What would you be doing there? What would your thoughts be there, Justin?
Well, I was hoping you weren't going to come to me, Peter, because I was just thinking, what on earth would I say and to whom?
Well, you go and think about that. And in the meantime, I'm going to turn to, as we're going into a bit of hiatus, almost gardening leave. You can see where I'm going with this. We're going to turn to our head of HR, Ellie. And we're going to find out how she's been. We'll also find out about her sweary mum, which is always a joy. Ellie, how are you doing?
Hello, everybody. How are we all?
We're all very well because we've all just slipped into football-induced coma, having watched a game of Bristol City. But never mind, never mind. How are you?
To be fair, it wasn't a loss. And you know what? 0-0, take the point. We're fourth in the league, boys. Do you know what I mean? We've got to be happy about something.
There you go, everybody. Ellie, we've not only just kind of, you know, basically kidnapped her and she's going through Stockholm syndrome, getting away from Manchester United. Yeah. She's now seeing the positives in things. I like this. I like this very much indeed.
It's important. We have to see the positives in everything. I just think that, I mean, Christ, 0-0 against Bristol, fair play to all the fans that have travelled, because that is a schlap back down the M4 and it's not the nicest journey. So fair play to all the fans that have travelled. What can you say, really? Other than that, really, I can't believe it was so dull and boring.
The thing was, and it always gets me, and I want to know if you, from games you've seen, anybody else who comes on, why we constantly look like we are having to manage the fitness of players constantly when we play against other teams who seem to be going 100%, you know, kind of pace. And intensity, and we seem to always kind of be dropping off. Now, I appreciate that that's not going to be Bilic's fault, and now he wants to get them to a level of fitness in this closed window, in this World Cup break. He's going to be taking them off to Spain, much to Uncle Ron's dismay. He wanted them taken to an army boot camp. What would HR say about that?
I think ultimately well-being and welfare is a priority, but ultimately your nutrition and your fitness should be your number one priority. You are a professional footballer. We therefore do not expect you to play like you belong in a grassroots team. That should be just a standard thing. I just think that ultimately they're all really unfit. They all just run like Sarr. I mean, what a lump of lard. Like, it's just ridiculous. He's a great player, but fuck me, he needs a kick up the arse. And he just needs to practice set pieces, creating and finishing goals, you know, back of the net. And actually, if it's supply and demand, and I just don't think we've got it. And I don't think they've got any oomph in them. I don't think anyone is passionate about this club. I've seen none of the Dan Bashman at a stretch. I mean, Christ, the poor bloke looked like he was about to fall asleep today. He's had the easiest day's wage ever.
Oh, he pulled off a good save from Wyman when he did have to wake up, as you say, in fairness, as we all did.
But we were like a little bit gasping in our breath. Mum went, "Oh Lord, here we go. It's going to start, isn't it?"
Oh and Lord! Your mum was toning it down at that today.
She did today because we've had like friends and stuff over,
visitors.
She had to keep the language to a minimum.
Effing and Jeffing,
And I was quite shocked that she wasn't effing and Jeffing, to be frank.
quite distressing for you.
In terms of Gosling's injury, it sounds like potentially it could be an Achilles. If it is, ruined. And potentially hamstring as well.
No, it wasn't his hamstring. He wasn't holding the back of his leg. If the hamstring goes, there's only one place your hand goes. It's just like instinctive reaction. It's the same thing. If you do your shoulder or your collarbone, take a certain body language angle.
Seems like, why wasn't Pedro on from the get-go? The man's now got like a month off work. Like, we're paying him a wage. And I don't understand why him and Saar weren't starting. Like, he couldn't have picked a worse squad to start.
The suggestion that I saw was that, and there were some words put out by Slaven Bilic, and it was saying that we're kind of monitoring their minutes. They both played lots of games, and there's only 20 minutes in either of them, for fear of getting injured, which kind of goes against what Slaven had said on Tuesday night, which was, no, absolutely, we will play Saar completely. Thursday, suddenly stuff is coming out, and Andrew French, the Watford Observer, bless him, was reporting going, hang on, he's now saying this.
Yeah. yourself, Hunt.
I'm thinking about it now, and I've thought about it, and I'm not. So it's a shame, but I think
want them to come back from the month break with some bollocks about them.
Uh-huh.
Be a man and actually play. You know, you're playing for the club ultimately. If you ain't about the club, then you shouldn't have a place in the team. I mean, the academy. Do not get me started on them.
Well, no, we're not going to the academy. Not today. That's another day.
Don't go there.
Well,
but it's just embarrassing. Like, I feel so sorry for all those fans that have travelled on trains and God knows what else. And, like, I mean, I feel for Wendover Horn, to be quite frank, because I know he would have travelled. And I just think, you poor sod, you're stuck in Bristol somewhere. Bristol is a nightmare to drive around anyway.
Oh, and the bus lanes of Bristol will be suffering. That's
and dreadful. They have cameras on them as well.
Oh, Greg, take care. Well, so, you mentioned Wendover Horn. He's even responded to the. So I'm sure he's not driving, or he's got somebody else to text
or he's
on
stuck
his
in traffic.
He said because he's had a stomach bug, Ellie. Now we did mock old.
That's what happens when you go to the West.
Well, no, we did mock Nathan Jones, the former Luton Town.
Yes!
More
the twat from up the road, yeah?
Yeah, that one. And then, of course, when they came and lost, he said, oh, no, we've had it. And we have heard that there were reports of a bug. So that may well explain the why he was there. So, look at this. Roving reporter Wendover Horn there. Excellent.
You couldn't make it up, really, could you? You just couldn't make it up.
I don't need to. Greg did for me. It was great.
I was just chuffed that Luton lost today, and I'm kidding you not, I had to go to that dreadful place today. And I kid you not, if the players play like the drivers, they just can't fucking drive up there. They're a nightmare. And I've never used my horn so much in all my life and my middle finger carry them along at the roundabouts. And on that cheery note, I shall leave you.
Thank you so much. There we go.
You're most welcome.
There goes Ellie, letting us know what she's done with her horn and her middle finger this week. That's excellent news. Thank you, Ellie, as always. Wonderful. Justin, stop laughing. You're making me sound smutty. That's no good at all. Right, we are going to go over to somebody who I heard the other day has now started calling himself to his neighbours at the Vicarage Road, in the Elton John's End, Blue Cheese Brett. Blue Cheese Brett, would you like to join us, sir? Hello, mate.
Settle you down and say I'm not pissed.
Really?
Oh, this is a shame.
Firstly, let's deal with the SAR issue, right? Apparently, I read an article in The Athletic. Leventhal said that he had some sort of bug. And you know when you're ill, sometimes you hallucinate. And, like, maybe he realised with SAR. By the way, I totally disagree with the opinions about SAR so far. And it feels like I've been sent on this planet to sincerely disagree with Ron in a very kind way.
Oh, no, Rich. Brett, yeah. This is the place where you're able to come and voice your opinion.
It's all with love.
And voice your
I think Ron's a lick. I totally disagree with him.
Go for it. No, you tell us.
Basically, so Slav has hallucinated and realised if he saved Saar or Pozzo gave him a call and said, if you rest Saar and he smashes it with Senegal because Mane's in, then he could go for 50, 60 mil. Whenever they want. So, like, best look after the investment. And why would you play him against shitty City? So now I just want to tell a concise story about why I'm delighted in the fact that this has turned out the way it is. Because yesterday morning, I was driving to a meeting and I got a text from Carl saying someone's dropped out and you could have a ticket to Bristol City 9:20 Paddington tomorrow. I got very excited because I hadn't looked at my diary. I was basically sending a voice note in traffic going, mate, I'll let you know in half hour, but I'm well up for this. Also, Peter really will accuse us of being colleagues and I will be in another vlog, so it might be weird. Set it all up, got very excited, text my missus, can I go? She's like, if you take the dog out early doors, it's all fine, but haven't you got, aren't you meant to be playing jazz from 12 till 3? I do like a little bit of side drumming, semi-pro vibe. Anyway, look, and then my bubble was burst. And I was conflicted all day about, should I just sack off the jazz and go to Bristol? Didn't, had a great session, and then tuned in on Hive Live and heard that it was absolute shite. So we're still fourth.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, we are.
There's games in hand and stuff on that. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think we can all say that, look, in terms of some of the qualities that we've seen so far, if you go back and look at the Millwall game, you go look at the Blackpool games.
No,
those two games where we didn't turn up, we didn't do anything creative. Yeah, exactly. Other than losers free kick. And we were horribly exposed at the back. We know we're a bit of a patchwork quilt on the right hand side of defence. But in fairness, and I'm gonna come out today. I thought Truth to Kong looked comfortable today. I thought he looked like he was taking charge of it.
He's growing in confidence.
Even dare I say, we've had Uncle Ron on, and he didn't diss Cabaselli on this instance.
I thought you were going to ask him about that. That I was screaming at the phone.
I do. I apologise, Brett. I apologise.
So, you've got to get him back on later.
Okay. Now, Mr. Positivity Brett. I want to know. You get to pick one player of the one player in the squad, and you're Bilic for 30 seconds, and you get to give him your wonderful inspirational talk to enthuse him, to get him to think about his game, maybe a little tactical insight, maybe a joke. Who would you pick, and what would you say?
It is Truth, right?
Ooh.
And what I say is, but I'd love to do the accent, but it will go really bad.
No, don't do that.
So I say, yeah. So you can see I'm not pissed, right? Because I would do the accent if I don't. Anyway, I'd be Truth. Do you remember, I saw before I arrived that there was this press stuff like 8 months ago about, I think it was Leventhal, said that you've got these analysts in Holland that analyse the game after every game. And that obviously hasn't worked ever. But now I'm here, I can see you. And there's a really good player in you. And if you play out of your skin to your level, to your potential, Watford will go up. And you're a captain if you're playing really well.
I'll be honest with you.
Then you're the next Deeney.
I'll be honest with you. It's not Laurence Olivier in Henry V, and you know, once more into the breach. But quite inspiring nonetheless. There's blue cheese, Brett.
Slav isn't Laurence Olivier, is he? He's a bit more crass than that. Yeah,
this is more Laurence Olivier in the jazz singer, to be honest. If I'm being honest with you.
Yeah. We've gone from free form jazz exploration. into our back four, which is where they go, thank you, Brett. Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure to hear Brett there. Wonderful stuff. Now, have we had half a performance? Have we had more than half a performance? What mark would we give out of 10? Would we give it 7.5? Probably not. But let's go and turn to Rich WFC2. He of the fractional score assessments for players. Rich, how are you doing? What do you make of this afternoon? What are your thoughts for the break and how we can improve things?
Oh, I think, thank God, it's come. That was a hard watch, wasn't it? And I feel for the fans that travelled all the way down there today. Bristol, it's not the greatest place to get to. And, frustration. I mean, I know I'm an oldie now and I'm old school, but, I mean, when I see this Bilic nonsense before the game about Sarr and Pedro got about 20 minutes in their legs, and I'm just thinking to myself, oh my God, I mean, I've got 20 minutes in my legs, and I just despair, because there's a team today in Bristol City terrified. Seriously, I saw Pearson on the side of that bench. He could not wait for that game to be over. They didn't have, and they had the best chance. Fair play to Backman, great save, you know. We've played 90 minutes. We've not had one shot anywhere near the actual goalposts. I know Bayo had one that went about 10 rows behind the goal, and that was it. You know, you've got your two best players. There's 12 goals in those two players, neither of them on the pitch for most of the game. And I don't know. I just don't understand it. And I just don't get why we are. I hate to use the word cowardly, but it was a cowardly performance. We, you know, we could go there with a bit of front foot action and go and have a go at them. And we saw today in the squad that without a Pedro and Sarr and Asprilia, we ain't got a great deal there. You know, people are saying, oh, Cambiselli did well and Troost did well. Well, they did, but they didn't have a lot to do today, and they certainly had nothing to do on Tuesday night, in which, you know, the last two teams we've watched, you know, down the M4, whatever, dreadful teams, absolutely dreadful teams. And we got the job done on Tuesday, and we got a point today. And so without sort of you know, contradicting myself, at the end of the day, I've said it before, if you can't win, don't lose. And for once, we got a draw. So we'll take a point. We go into the break. We're fourth. We've got hopefully a new sporting director, Mr. Manga, coming in. Bilic is going to have some real time on the training ground, so we're going to see what he's all about now. And hopefully, we can come back stronger. I would certainly be ripping up the free transfer market and trying to find some midfield players, because, you know, we know we ain't got loser till about February, March, if he ever even comes back this season, which has got to be, got to be a long shot. We've got nothing in that midfield that progresses the ball, that moves it forward, that makes it look like we can attack. We don't shoot. We don't have shots on goal. And at the end of the day, goals get you promoted. Nothing else, not clean sheets, goals, because goals win your games and get you the points. And, you know, 2 points went begging there today, and I'm disappointed about that. But as I said, that's the positives. We've got a new sporting director, fingers crossed, coming in. Billy's just got his time, and let's hope they move forward. And, you know, it was just frustrating. And I say, I feel for the fans today. Surely we owe them more than that. Yeah, we've had a lot of games. Everybody's had a lot of games, but I'm sorry. I'm disappointed in Bilic today. I'll give him that one. You know, we're fourth in the league, for crying out loud. So, you know, what am I moaning about? But, you know, we could be top. You know, we're there's some good teams around us, but there's some dreadful, dreadful dross in this league as well. And let's hope they come back revitalised.
Absolutely. So you're given 30 seconds. Some would call that half a minute, of course. Yeah. In the, well, you see what I did there. I reckon we can spin these in jokes for at least another season. Nobody listens to
them. Absolutely.
Anyway. Right,
absolutely.
So, you're Bilic for 30 seconds. You can pull one player aside. You can give him a bit of a motivational pep talk or a bit of a tactical suggestion. Who would you pick and what would you say?
I would pick KM Bay. I'll take him to the biggest wall there is, maybe out to China, the Great Wall of China. I would give him a football. I would tie his left leg up, and I would say, spend the next 30 minutes to an hour hitting the ball with your right foot against that wall, backwards and forwards, because you have a right foot. You are allowed to use it. You don't have to spin around on it 360 degrees, ending up passing the ball backwards. Go and see that wall and give it a good old pasting with your right foot.
I love the fact that you chose a wall to be very, very far away, giving yourself the option of returning without him. That didn't get past us. We like
you
that.
You see what I did there, yeah.
I did. I thought you were just going to stop, actually, at one point and just go, I would take him very far away by a wall. That's it. Excellent stuff. Excellent stuff. Well, Rich, enjoy the break. Enjoy the break.
You too, guys. Look forward to speaking to you again.
We will do, mate. We will do. Oh, there he goes. There he goes. Miss a pint and a half or whatever. Anyway, enough of the pint and a half nonsense.
Hi, this is Nigel Gibbs, and you're listening to the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes podcast.
Let's have a quick look at some five-word reviews. Then I'm going to come to Gary, and I'm definitely going to come to Gary because he put in an excellent point on one of the five-word reviews, and I want to hear a little bit more about that. John, going to come to you, and Tim also going to be coming to you as well. So the five-word reviews, Uncle Ron said medical team worse than Shipman. We heard that earlier on. Hampshire Hornet said Gino Pozzo, take serious note. I think that's suggesting that we should be knowing who we're going to go and get in January. Mikey Abraham said, what sport? Definitely not football. Willie said it was a hard watch. It certainly was. Gary made a couple of comments here. Most boring game of the season. And then he also said City should have had a penalty. Now, I made a reference to that at the start. Gary, so if you want to hit your mic button and let us know how you are and what you thought of the game. And which one was it? Was it the high foot? Is that the one you think it might have been?
Hello, Peter. Hello
mate.
Firstly, what a fucking load of shit. Oh, my God. I think everybody so far has commented, no disrespect to them, has been very, very polite. Even Ellie was polite, but that was dreadful, wasn't it? That was absolutely. I mean, I'm sitting there watching it. I'm thinking, I remember standing in the Vicarage Road end in the 90s watching shit like that. It was dreadful. Absolutely dreadful.
But what do you really think, Gary? What do you really think?
I'm sorry, Justin, if I'm mincing with my words, I do apologise. I'm glad you reminded me of what my five-word review was. You want to talk, because I've literally forgotten. I'm so bored of it. I was thinking that this Twitter space could be over in 20 minutes, and I was hoping that Mr. Wendover Horn could discuss the duck rap that he had just to fill some time. This afternoon. It was. I'd rather have my teeth pulled out with no anaesthetic.
I wonder where you're going.
It was shit.
It was poor. It was really, really poor. Which penalty did you think it should have been in the first half? Because your high foot. You think that was
the high foot? Absolutely. I think anywhere else on the pitch that would have been a free kick. So if it's in the penalty area, it's got to be a penalty.
But I don't disagree with what you're saying. You don't see many penalties given for a high foot. Do you know what I mean?
No.
It seems to be one of those things that is almost kind of that referees go, no, there wasn't any contact there, so we won't penalise you. But you're right. Outside of there, it would be a free kick all day long and twice on Sundays. Never mind. So, Gary, I want to know, because you've been watching that, you've seen it, having not been able to see the good bit of Luton, obviously, the other week. Yeah, I hope you caught back up on that and got a good opportunity to watch all of that all the way through, because that was as good as this was poor. But you're going to get to pull one player to one side and give a little bit of your motivational speech or your tactical suggestions to him. Who do you pick and what do you say?
Well, the last caller, I think it was Rich, nicked my idea. It was going to be Kembe. And it was practice, 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 using your right foot.
Okay. I thought you were just going to say you were all in favour of taking him to China and leaving him there, but it's that bit that you're particularly looking for. Okay, all right.
Well, I mean, the other one would have been Cabaselli, please fuck off, but I think I've used enough swear words today.
No. This is the home of bawdy language and opinion, and we're quite happy with that. That's fine. Okay, sir. Right. Well, look, no, I thank you very much for your 5-word reviews and everything there as well. So some more 5-word reviews here, which I thought was Lee said, why was Gosling so angry? And I think, we've kind of talked about that. Dean Sherwood, well done, Dean. Dean has given up all pretense on these 5-word reviews of having any kind of discipline around the 5 words. Well done. I'm really pleased to see this. He says, glad the break is long enough we can forget this drivel. Well done. Well said. I like that. Laws said, feel tired after watching that. I don't disagree with that. Jimbo Jaggin said, 2 shots, neither on target. The Big Lebowski said, so please, I played jazz. And then he used brackets and said instead, which spoiled everything. Dean knows what I mean with this. That's silly. Carl Campion said, Justin's sock talks were more interesting. Yes, Justin, we probably do need to visit your sock conversation at some point in the future, because we found out about this literally a couple of minutes before we were due to talk to Dave Messenger at the club. And our interview with him will be coming out in over the next week, plus another one with Anne Swanson as well, both of which were thoroughly enjoyable and thoroughly enlightening. But on the recent one, your fascination with expensive socks.
Well, it's not so much the expensive socks. It was that I was served an advert on Facebook for some official England international socks, with the free lines on them. But they were £88 for 6 pairs, which I thought was outrageous. And then I started talking about some other socks that I saw were expensive for sale at the London Transport Museum. And it kind of went then into a bit of a train spotting conversation. I'm not a train spotter. I would like to just point that out. I am not a train spotter, but I do have an affection for the London Underground. So let's just put that out there now.
Yes, you do. Although you don't like coming back from where was it you said? You said it's the Met Line is rubbish when you're trying to come back from like Stratford or something.
If you're getting back from like say I managed to get some Peter Kay tickets today, so there's a good example. When I go and see Peter Kay at the O2, it will take me an hour and a half to get there from Croxley or Watford all the way through to Greenwich, and then same sort of time getting back, because it is an absolute nightmare getting back from that part of London. But we haven't come here to discuss this.
No. I just enjoyed the fact Carl and I discussed this the other day. And she said, he did seem to be rather upset that it takes a long time to get to somewhere a long way away, which we thought was confusing. But there we are.
Yes,
well, there we are.
Yeah.
There we are. Right, we're going to come to John in just a second. John, hold for me there, sir. Miss Vick said, why is there no consistency? Mike Smart, the excellent Mike Smart, who last Sunday did a blue cheese-based Twitter thread that we even turned into, with the Dan Buster theme underneath it. It was inspirational. And if Mike came on here, I wouldn't even ask him for a word of motivation. I would simply play the squad that. It was wonderful. And his comment, a sturdy chunk of cheddar. He's carrying on the cheese motif. I'm pleased with this. Ian Bacon said, didn't lose, and we're fourth. So look at people are looking at this. Gareth said, didn't lose, 2 clean sheets. Love this. Now, this is one thing I do want to put out. Natasha Wright. Natasha, who is queen of the 5-word reviews, you may have seen put out, is recovering in hospital and hopefully listening to this. And love to Natasha from everybody at Do Not Scratch Your Eyes. Lovely lady, puts in all of the long reviews and all of the 5-word reviews as well. And so we hope you're well and back at the Vic very, very soon indeed. Love to love to Natasha. Match-worn shirts, Watford said, still climb table after that. Tom Hagen said, at least we didn't lose. And Louis Teixeira said, thank God for the break. Yet, I do think the players look like they need that break. I mean, as I say, I don't understand why we always seem to make such heavy weather of moving around the pitch in comparison to the other team. But we do. Hopefully the fitness will come. But anyway, let us turn east. We've played in the sort of west, but let's go very east and go and speak to John.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
John, sir, if you want, you know the drill there. How are you?
I know the drill. I'm good. How are you guys?
We're very good. We're, yeah. We're, I think we're probably quite happy that the break is here. We can get some work done, and we can get over the football induced coma that was Bristol City away. But other than that, how did it look from the Gulf States?
Well, I mean, again, echoing some of comments earlier, I think 3 or 4 weeks ago, you guys had asked someone had asked what would we get from the next four games, and I thought to myself, well, if we can get 8 points from the next four games, then at that point I think we were seventh, that would probably keep us, you know, no further down than seventh, but probably higher up than that, sixth or maybe fifth, but we're fourth now. So, when you put it in context, I think today, yes, it was not a good game to watch, but we did achieve a clean sheet. It was a draw, which is something that is alien to Bilic. And I think actually on the whole, it was okay. We came out with the result. I thought obviously Sarr and Pedro not starting was probably going to impact that or make that happen. Even bringing Pedro on didn't make too much of a difference there, but on the whole, I'm not that disappointed about today. I think actually we've got a month off now, and when we come back, I don't know if the two teams that with Burn in their name that play tomorrow, if their result impacts us. I don't think it does it? Whatever happens there, we're still going to be fourth, aren't we?
Yeah, they're top two. I mean, obviously it'll impact us in as much as people get away, and we'll just have to see whatever happens. Probably hopefully more, so that they drop a point somewhere between the two of them would be better, or they both drop two points, I suppose, in that respect. But no, we'll wait to see. But no, I think we did actually ask that question, but mainly because Justin and Carl are so absolutely dreadful at making predictions. we have the least successful prediction league, I think, known to man. We won't even talk about where they are in the fantasy football league. I think we predicted 8 or 10, depending on who it was. I think I was positive and went for 10.
I said 10. I said 8. Carl said 10. I think.
Yeah, that was it. And it was. It's interesting. It's an interesting process because clubs often look at games batches of games and go, right, what we're expecting to get from this, realistically is we'll probably lose one, we'll draw one, and we'll win three, let's hope, so they it's a process that they go through, but sometimes it's good to look back and see, well, why didn't we achieve that, or how did we achieve that in some instances. We were chatting to Kenny Jackett about a month or so ago, and it was one of the things he was taking us through and talking about the psychology of that. So no, I think there's a number of people on here, for example, John Parslow, ever positive John Parslow, says we're fourth, let's stop moaning. That's fair enough. But then a lot of people commented that Ben made a couple of brilliant comments. Ben Matthews, hello Ben, he said 22 blokes wearing flip-flops, that's a good use of 5 words as far as I'm concerned. And then he went on to just have a one word review, which might not mean something to everybody. He just said margarita. No, he didn't even say.
He
didn't even use Carl's margarita pizza bit at the end. That's such economy. Pete Ryan said surrendering forces, taking more shots. You're not right. We were shot shy today. I think we looked kind of there or thereabouts. But there we go. So
absolutely,
John, you get the ball. You get to come back from Dubai. And you get off at Heathrow, you get an Uber or something straight to the training ground, and you go and pull one of the players over to the sideline, and you give them some pearls of wisdom. Who would you pick, and what would you
think? Well, I would probably take Chowdhury, actually, because I think he's a really good player. I think he disrupts play, he breaks it up, doesn't he? And he's energetic, and I like him. But I would like him to score more goals, it just feels like whenever you watch him, he's really good at doing everything I just said, but going forward and actually scoring and making a difference there is something he could probably work on. Maybe that's not part of his game. Remember, N'Golo Kanté is not that kind of player either, is he? But I think he's definitely someone that could probably do with a bit more, some more support to go forward and actually do a bit more in that department. So yeah, I'd say Choudhury.
Brilliant stuff. Encourage him to get his shooting boots on. We definitely do lack goals from any other area other than when we're playing that 4-2-3-1, the one in Keenan Davis and the three across the back. We don't get goals from anyone else other than we've had one here also, and we've had one from Trusty Kong at set pieces. So getting goals from midfield would be really useful. And Uncle Ron said at the start when he was picking out a player, he wanted both a poacher and he wanted a creative midfield player, somebody who would go and get that, an Alman Abdi, something like that. Wouldn't that be nice?
Absolutely.
Brilliant stuff. John.
But listen, I just want to say one thing because I'm based in the Middle East and we are hosting the World Cup, and I listened to your last podcast. I know there's a lot of negativity around what's happening in Qatar and what's happened in Qatar and on the lead up to the World Cup, and I get all of that, and I'm totally sympathetic to it as well, and you know there are parts of it that really tug at my heartstrings, but at the same time we're here now and England are there, and I'm taking my wife and my two daughters to go and watch England versus USA in Doha in a couple of weeks time. And you know, it's going to be a great tournament. So I hope everyone is behind that and supports England, irrespective of all the politics around it. I just want to say that.
No, well said.
I think a lot of it is just that there hasn't been a huge build-up over it, John. Normally, with the World Cup, there's at least a month before, it's this advert to do with the World Cup. Buy this cereal and win, you know, World Cup tickets. And none of that is happening over here. It just feels a little bit like an interruption to the domestic season. Now, where you are, is there a bigger build-up to it? Or is it...
There is a much bigger build-up, yes. Because obviously it's one of the... Well, it is, I suppose you would call it the premier global event, really, isn't it, in in the world? So there is a much bigger build up, and especially in Dubai where I live, they're putting on many more flights over from Dubai to Qatar, and they're making the tickets available, and they're making sure that the whole region is accommodating to the festival. So it has been a really big event, and it's everyone's really looking forward to it. So and like I said, I totally acknowledge and I understand where the feelings lie around Qatar, and I sympathise with all of it. But like I said, we are where we are now, and please support England while we're there.
Well said, John.
Interested to see how the build-up was different actually sort of in the region, I think. I think I said on the space, on the podcast, look, no one's going to be really that interested till we reach the second round or the quarterfinals, and all of a sudden it's, oh, okay, England doing all right. But I honestly think this one has got the lowest fanfare of a World Cup I can ever remember, and there's a lot of in this country.
You're right.
Why are you going to this?
You're absolutely right. Justin. You're absolutely right with that. And one thing I've always been interested in is, you know, when you have the African Nations Cup, and that is a tournament that is within the domestic season. And the players go away and they come back. And I've been really interested to understand if the players go away, like the Premier League players go away mid-tournament or mid-competition like we are now, are they in a better place or are they in a worse place because they've played, you know, less football? Normally the tournament's at the end of the season, isn't it? So they're all normally very tired, and they get a couple of weeks off, but then they have to go and train and get into the national mode, and then they come back. But
the Cup of Nations doesn't actually interrupt the season. That's what it does, in that the players go and we carry on.
In this case we do, don't we? This one is actually interrupting the season, and the actual schedule has been brought to a halt. So I'd be interested to understand if this makes a difference. Are the England players actually fresher and better because they haven't played a whole season you know.
Well,
I don't know.
There's a good point. John, brilliant stuff. Thank you, sir, as always. I think there's two points to it, really, which is the fact that often if you're playing the World Cup in the regular summer slot, then players will have rested for 2 or 3 weeks and they will come back in and they need to gain some kind of fitness back again, you know, because even if you stop for 2 to 3 weeks, you would do that. They go off into their mini camps, but more importantly, they work together as a team. Now, international tournaments are famous for teams who build and grow throughout the tournament as a result. But it's not just because of their fitness, it is because they are working together as a team and they are sort of slowly improving over time. So it'll be interesting to see. It will be interesting to see indeed. Right. Okay, let's bring in Tim, we're going to come to you in just a second, but let's bring in, because otherwise he'll have an absolute pop at me about being accused of being sent to Bristol or Coventry or somewhere else. But Mr. Carl James, sir.
Good evening.
How you doing?
How are we? Are we well?
Well, you know, I had a wonderful sleep this afternoon.
Oh,
it was
a little bit jealous. I was up at 7:30 this morning going to this absolute fucking waste of time.
How was it there? We've got Wendover Hall waiting, so we'll come to him after Tim, after you, sir.
Yeah.
How was the mood in the ground when you saw the team first of all? What was the thoughts about that? And then through the game.
Yeah, the mood in the ground was very good. In general, actually, it was quite vibrant. The picking of the team, however, when we're all stood in a pub going, what the fuck is going on here? What the absolute shit is happening here? But that was a little bit difficult to take. But yeah, because we were still... can I just say, all credit, and I don't know if there's any Bristol City fans on this or whatever, what an amazing away day they've got here. Because anybody that hasn't been for many years, they've got like a fan zone that almost encircles the ground. So wherever you are, at half time, you're allowed outside of the stadium and you can go to a bar and there's no queuing. And it's honestly, what an amazing place. I come here every week. I would. Fantastic.
Ooh.
What a great place. On 10 out of 10. And as you know, Peter, I'm currently wading my way through the northern sector of the country for away days. But I've stumbled across an absolute gem here in Bristol.
Well played, Bristol City.
Yeah,
well,
absolute well tremendous. Yeah, tremendous.
Catering for that's all good. That's all good then. So... Other than that, and looking at the game, I appreciate how quickly you can get a beer. We'll move very quickly to the centre of your heart and not move away from
it. Thank you.
What were the thoughts in terms of, you know, the first half and then kind of at that halftime? Because we were sort of, you know, looking at the game, as I say, it was really kind of inducing sleep in me.
Well, I saw a pigeon fly across during the first half, which was lovely.
The highlights.
Yeah, I saw a pigeon fly across the first half. That was nice. The second half, there was a couple of players warming up, which was lovely. So it was great. But can I just say, we've just recorded a video with Taylor, who was abducted by some Bristol City fans. And if you thought the skip video was funny, let me tell you, this one will break records. It was.
I look forward to putting that on TikTok.
Honestly, amazing, yes. Amazing. But can I just say something about? I caught the end. Who was on before me? Somebody that.
That was John. That was John.
John in Dubai. I just caught the end of John's call, which I liked. And forget Watford, because today was just a bore draw. And the one thing that John said there was support England. He's absolutely right. Support England. You know, don't support what's going on beneath it, above it, anything like that. Support England. It's your country. Be proud of it. You know, you're proud of your team, guys. You're proud of Watford. You know, if Watford were doing whatever, you'd support them. Forget all the nonsense that goes around it. All that shite. Support your country. I know it's not great. I know it's weird. And we spoke about this on the podcast. It very much is an odd time of year. But you know, support England. And I'm looking forward to a 4-week break now, with the vlog, where I can just sit down and not drink anything for a while. So that'd be nice.
Are you giving up? Yeah. Is that what you're saying? You're giving up drinking for a month?
I'm not drinking throughout the World Cup. No. I am. I've given it up.
May I point out to you, sir, that your birthday, your 40th birthday, falls during the World Cup?
Okay, apart from that day.
Oh, okay, fair enough, yeah.
Well, the one thing I wanted to mention to John and to you, Justin, as well, we talked about the lack of build-up. But now the build-up will start because, of course, it may be the foremost football tournament in the world. But, of course, the World Cup was sitting behind the juggernaut of a fixture that was Bristol City 0, Watford 0. Tim, sir, you have been waiting for ages. Tim Rose, sir, come on and let us know your thoughts of the day, the season, whatever you'd like to mention, sir.
No problem at all, chaps. How are we?
Hello, mate. Yeah, we're okay. We're not too bad. You sound like you're on the move. Are you returning from Ashton Gate?
No. Oh. I'm sat in my lounge, so I can hear that noise as well.
Oh, we have a pickup point. We can't go out from the station.
Oh. And that noise has now been removed because that was Carl for no reason. Carl, I've taken you off the... What can you do? Go on, Tim. Sorry, mate. That makes much more sense. Go on.
Yeah. I did wonder what that background noise was. It was quite extraordinary.
Yeah, that moment when you're going, am I in the street? I don't think I am. Yeah. Go on, Tim. What are your thoughts, mate?
Yeah, I was picking up on what someone said a few calls ago, actually, about a guy was saying about kind of, you know, watching some performances in the 90s that, you know, were utterly shocking. And that was back in my season ticket holder days as well. I managed to pick, you know, one of the worst times in our fantastic club's history to be a season ticket holder and basically watch dross from 1990 to 1995. But there we go. But and also then when you fast forward to, you know, the Taylor promotions, to the Boothroyd promotions and to our last promotions, at, you know, at the beginning of the noughties and stuff. Oh, sorry, the beginning of the teens. You know, there are plenty of performances which stink the place out over the course of that year. So, you know, and as a lot of people have said already, you know, it's better to draw than lose. It's kind of one of those days, you know, we come to May, June time. We won't remember this kind of at all. It's just one of those ones that happens. But yeah. I think, again, you know, there's just some things that are absolutely glaringly obvious. And I think what I don't understand quite for me about Kayembe is both under Edwards and under Slaven a little bit, is his best performances actually are when he's further forward. So, you know, you talk about what tactical tweak you would make. If I'm allowed to, if I may, one would be to move Kayembe 5 yards further forward, leave Chowdhury in behind him, get him much closer to the front players. Because I think when he gets the ball in sort of like, you know, sort of CDM type role, he looks up and panics and doesn't know what to do. Whereas when he gets an opportunity in and around the box, he seems to be able to drive forward from there, where he can't seem to do it from just in front of the back four. So I get him further forward. And the last one, again, blatantly obvious. So I would just get Ismail Assar and just say, run at people.
Ooh.
Because you seem to have forgotten what makes you superb.
There's Tim, everybody. First of all, what a call. Yeah, absolutely with you on Ismaila all the way. Please, push the ball past them. 20, yeah. 30 yards. Oh, it's fine. Yeah. Don't worry. You'll catch it.
That's all you need to do. Because all, and you know, it doesn't even matter whether he gets, you know, a quality pass or a cross in at the end of it, because it'll just scare the living daylights out of people in throws, corners, free kicks. You know, I mean, I remember in our, you know, it's you know, what is it, 2 seasons ago now, we just go back to that home game against Reading where in the first, you know, the game was over after 15 minutes because he had utterly destroyed them with basically two rasping drives into the top corner. And that was it. But you know it's in his locker and you just go, mate, just run at people, because sometimes that'll happen and other days, you know, so much will happen off it as a result. But yeah,
well, let's hope he produces a little bit of that at the World Cup, because if he had produced a bit more of that, we wouldn't have him anymore.
That is very true.
I appreciate that's a poison chalice, but we would have 40 million quid to reinvest in the next bright young thing from somewhere in a player we've all never heard of, and then go, yes sir, who? Oh, isn't he good? You know, that kind of thing. Brilliant.
Absolutely.
Stuff. Oh, Tim, superb stuff. Look at that. Somebody comes on and goes, no, I don't want one. I want two. I'm taking two. But that's what we like to see, people. This is excellent news. Tim, great call, sir. Thank you ever so much for coming on.
No worries.
Really, really appreciate it. Do let's hear from you again. I like that very much indeed. There's Tim Rhodes, everybody. Wonderful stuff.
Hi, everyone. It's Nick Wright. You're listening to Do Not Scratch Your Eyes podcast.
Let's go to the bus lanes. You know where we're going here. Let's go to the bus lanes of Bristol and see how our very own Wendover Horn is getting on with his return journey. Wendover, how are you, sir?
Evening, Pete.
Evening, mate. How are you? Did you enjoy the fan facilities at Ashton Gate as much as Carl did?
I have to underline what Carl said. Absolutely superb. You know, fan zones outside the ground with, well, how can you put it? Upmarket, you know, these upmarket food, you know, pop-ups. Yeah, very good, very good. And beer and everything. So, they've done a lot of work on that ground. You can see the corporate areas and the bar. They've spent some money. They have definitely spent some money on that stadium. And, full play to Bristol City. Before I kick off about the game, that's why I'm late on, actually. I've been walking to my car, so I found a very good Just Park space. And then I couldn't fucking find where it was. I've been walking. I've been walking around Bristol looking for it.
In fairness, whilst you're walking around Bristol, the bus lanes are safe. So possibly not. So no, too bad.
Well, that's why I'm talking to you stationary, because the roads do look rather challenging. So I haven't set off yet. As I was listening to you walk into the car, I'm sure I heard Ron say, I had a pull this afternoon. If Ron wants to come back on a little bit later, I'd love to know what he's been pulling.
No. The question was whether or not he was out walking his dog.
Okay.
Not euphemistically, really. That's sometimes what he does. You know. And hello, Mrs. Wendoverhorn again, always. Or if he was at home, or if he was reclining by his pool.
Okay.
As he does in Florida.
Okay.
And he was sitting back at home, but he wasn't by his pool.
Okay.
No. I wouldn't expect that a man of Uncle Ron's deportment would come on and go, "Where are you, Ron? I'm out on the pool." This is not the kind of thing I expect him to say.
No, Mrs. Wendover isn't in the car today. I left her at home queuing for Peter Kay kit tickets online, and she managed to get some. Though I did buy her a new shark yesterday, a new shark vacuum. So, I've got some brownie points there. So
let's be honest. Anybody who listens to this space is now knows more about what goes on in Wendover than is really... than is really needed. Let's turn to the game for a moment.
A bit of a bore, really. I thought they were a poor side. However, Pete, a month ago we would have lost that. So,
yep.
A point will do. We go into the break. You say fourth. Happy with that. I'd have taken that in August, mate. So... yeah, all good. Not a great game. Two shots, neither on target. I liked one of their players, number 7. Is it Scott or Scott?
Oh, yeah. Alex Scott.
Yeah, Alex Like him a lot.
He's a bit niggly, isn't he?
Yeah, a bit niggly in midfield. He's got some vision. Bit box to box. Go and buy him, Gino. Go and buy him. I did hear you say at the start, who would we buy? Who would the callers buy? Definitely agree with the talks of a box to box midfielder. Grimes would be on the top of my list, but if we couldn't get Grimes, I'd have a go at this boy. This boy from Bristol.
Sounds good.
I'd have a go for Darnell Furlong at West Brom. He's been
just to bring his dad back to the club.
Well, I'd bring his dad back.
50 years of age,
I do notice that he's been out of the side, though I think the new manager's brought him back, but they were playing him in a three, and he's as much a right wing back as you can find.
With a throw that's
like a corner. That
for
would
anybody.
Be,
for anybody who is not aware, Darnell Furlong is son of Watford, two seasons legend Paul Furlong, from in and around the time when Tim was the season ticket holder, and we were just discussing, but Furlong was the, but his son, he plays as a sort of a right back, but he can also play right wing back as well, exactly.
Yeah, good player.
Yeah, he's not bad at all. He's previously
and I think West Brom, Pete, I think West Brom might cash in because they're not going up. If you put a, you know, cheeky £3-4 million bid in, I think he is absolute quality. And then I agree with all callers. I'll go and get a poacher. Villa must loan Archer out because he hasn't had a minute's game time.
Well, I wonder if, and I like the gent because we got to speak to Courtney Halls. I like him immensely. But I, you know, one of the concerns has been about the medical side of everything and whether or not, you know, if we're ever going to get him back. If we're not, there makes no sense using that money there. Archer isn't playing. It would be much better for him to play. Obviously, they've had, you know, they've swapped Steven Gerrard out. They've got Unai Emery in, which suggests that they might want to, invest going forward. I'd go and get him as an option, most certainly. Old Cameron Archer, reserve team striker at Villa.
Pete, don't you think Slav's remarks, players are useless to me when they're injured, a little back-end pop at House, I think it probably was. I think House thinks he's injured when other people don't think he's injured. He's no use to us. Send him back to Villa. Let's have Archer.
Some players feel like they have to be 100%, otherwise the injury gets on top of them. I mean, I'm not saying it's just a choice of him going, oh, I don't want to play, but it's they're fragile when they've got something going on, you know. Yeah. There, so he might be one of them. He was a perfectly lovely fella. But of course, we've had what, 2.5 games out of him. It's really not enough.
I think he's Doc Cotton in disguise, to be honest with you.
Other EastEnders characters are.
Forever wanting to see Dr. Legg. I think he's a hypochondriac. But
Well, Wendover, excellent call as always. I'm going to ask you one quick question.
Go on, mate.
You're going to pull one of the players aside and you're going to have a word in his shell. Like, it's going to be some tactical, insightful stuff, or it's going to be some motivational stuff. Who would you pick and what would you say?
Yeah, left foot Lenny.
KMB to anybody else.
Yeah. Your right foot isn't just for balancing on.
Oh, there you go. We've had three people now.
You can kick with it if you like. I'd like to be, you know, they get several pairs of boots a season and they obviously give them to whoever. I'd like to be the recipient of left foot Lenny's boots, because the right boot, each time you get it, it's going to be brand new, you know, never used. But, I would definitely be having a word with and I apologise, Jason, I've nicked your name, but, I would be having a word with left foot Lenny.
Good stuff. Right, sir. Safe journey back.
Yeah, cheers, mate. I'll speak to you soon.
I look forward to hearing tales of how well the Shark vacuum cleaner works and operates. That's all good.
Greg, I've got a badge for you next time I see you, mate.
Oh, okay? Yes, we do. We should have said about this, actually. We have some badges. So if you see us at games or around the place, and they're just nice little do not scratch your eyes badges. We thought, that's nice. We'll give those away. They'll be nice and fun. So, Neil, I'm going to come to you in just a second. Just going to quickly go through some of the rest of the 5-word reviews. We'll speak to Neil Silverstein, and then we will go through. I see that the comments have been going backwards and forwards, so that might be quite lively. We shall see. But I especially wanted to go to this one. Peter Lee, and then the reply from James Smith, both of them paying absolutely no attention to my ridiculous rule that this should be 5 words in any way, shape or form. Well done, gentlemen. Glad to see that. There's one thing we like here. It's a maverick who refuses to play by the rules. Peter's comment was lovely. Yin to the yang of the Luton game. That's football. That's Watford FC. To enjoy the highs, you have to endure the lows. A break will do us good. James's reply was, both teams clock off a week early. Sounds like we hardly had an attack, let alone a shot. You're absolutely right. We didn't really have a shot on target, really. At least we didn't lose, I guess. And the defence will say another clean sheet by hook or crook. And absolutely right, sir. Adam said travelling fans deserve a refund. Well, the travelling fans seem to quite like the fact that there was a fan zone there. That might be something we'd like to see. Something that was a little bit more accommodating to fans who get there. PB, Barnsley said, we have a pathetic squad. It's time to go, said, well, that was fucking dull. That that is in a nutshell. Well done. It's time to go. Like that one. TJ said, made Margherita pizza look good. Margherita's having two appearances here. This is good. Please buy a central midfielder, says Josh. Softail says, glad I stayed at home. Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with you there. CPN, look at what you could have won. Yeah, a match. That would have been nice. Anna says, pathetic playing paid professionals. Oh, she, Anna's one of those four-word users, those rogue people who just keeps a word all to themselves. Probably began with P if the iteration there's anything to go with. And Jonah Lusty says, worst fucking away day ever. Now, Jonah has not been impressed, clearly, with everything that Bristol City had to offer today. But there we are. But there we are. Anyway, let's go. Let's go for a final quarter and then we can kind of bring it to an end. The Do Not Scratch Your Eyes head of betting, Mr. Neil Silverstein. Neil, sir, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Hate yourself?
It's. I'm not quite pleased there's a break because I'd rather just the World Cup wasn't just getting in the way of stuff. But in a way, I think we could gain some advantage by Mr. Bilic having some time with the squad. What are your thoughts?
Well, you've beaten me to it. So first of all, I've saw absolutely none of the game today, so I've dodged a bullet.
Well done.
So
well done.
Yeah, and I didn't actually put any money on the game either. So obviously, bet 365 are far better off for that.
Yep.
But really, so I just looked at the table. When you look at the table without having to endure 90 minutes of crap, it doesn't make too bad a reading. So here you go, little stat for you. Obviously, I think it's fifth. Only three sides in a division have lost less games than us, right? So I think, and this is your point you just made, we're in pretty good shape right now, right? Bilic is going to get the chance, which you wouldn't normally get, to have a mid-season pre-season. So for me, and I think we've made it, that others have made the point in other calls, we don't look fit, right? So I think that the break should give us the opportunity to do what should have been done pre-season. Also, I think it gives us a chance for Bilic to work on shape, tactics, and I think, as others have said, remind Sarr that he can run with the ball. So I'm actually really optimistic, which I find quite strange. I think Bilic is a good manager. I think tactically he's done a really decent job considering he was dropped in it and the players available to him literally change on an hourly basis. I think the point that Greg made, you know, Courtney Glasshouse, really.
Oh, look at that. Look at that, everybody. This is why Neil's posing us out tonight.
I'll keep going with that. Yeah. But he is exactly the sort of player that we need. So, to answer your question, if I was to buy one, you know, adds to the squad for me, an absolutely fit, solid, reliable centre back. And the reason for that is that I think Kayembe or Left Foot Lenny, as you call him, he would be, you know, mentally a bit more free to play further up because at the moment, you know, a glass defence means that the midfield drop, and you know, even Sarr, probably his starting position is 10 yards deeper than it should be. Because they're wary about what's going to happen in defence. So having that, you know, having that solid defender, I think Troost and one or two of the other defenders would benefit from that. So, a poacher would be nice, but if it was only one, it has to be a solid centre-back that will pull on the shirt every single game between now and the end of the season. Because you can start to get some sort of like momentum being built. And then the rest of it, I think, would suddenly, you know, start to come on. Some of the players should come back from injury. If the medical team can actually do their job and repair them rather than break them more. you know, as I've said it before, a player goes out with like a minor knock for 2 weeks and we don't see him for 3 months. I mean, it's Pierre Iser all over again, but at the training ground, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The stretcher bearers who do more harm than good, I know.
Yeah.
The Hippocratic oath went out that day.
But I just think a bit of perspective. If you look at some of the Premiership games and results today, any player that's involved with the World Cup in, what is it, 10 days' time, they're not going to be mentally focused or give 100%. I mean, subconsciously, it's like nobody wants to be like Maddison's been today, which is like out injured. So, personally, I probably wouldn't have even played Sarr at all, right? Because he's just not there, he's not with it. You'd want, and particularly in the Championship, you need players that are focused, committed, and giving 100% for the whole, whether it's 91, 92, 93, however many minutes, because it's such a bloody tight division. And the odd goal here and there, either way, will make a difference to it. And I just think that if I had to criticise Billich, it would be I'd have not played Sarr. Now, you can make the argument we pay him, so he should do it. But realistically, I think any player that's going to the World Cup, you never know whether you'll get another chance, right? And for a lot of the, well, most players, playing for your club is the highest accolade that you can get. Sorry, playing for the country is the highest accolade you can get. As a fan, it's probably not the same, but you have to respect that and let them go and do that. It's just part and parcel of football, right? And it's just one of those things. But hindsight, I guess, to try and close it on a high, life isn't too bad. We could be managerless. We could have an LU postcode. and having made some stupid comments in the press and now ending up round the corner for me and what the other scum in Southampton.
Well, there you go, everybody. That bump you can hear. Well, there it was. That was Neil just dropping a mic and leaving. That's quality stuff. Neil Silverstein, everybody. Wonderful stuff. Wonderful. Neil, wonderful. Enjoy your break and we'll catch you soon. Well, I'm sure we'll be doing various things very soon. Right, let's just go to some of the comments here. Louis Teixeira, another excellent summary of the day. It says, poor today. Toothless up top. Slow to move the ball and poor in midfield. Struggle to create anything of any note. Need the break to reconvene and regroup. Offering nothing till the second half when Pedro and Sarr came on. Let's try and enjoy the break and see you all for the Hull game. There you go. Paul Vander Turner says, when our best players drop off, the drop in class is huge. That's why not having more young players chomping at the bit is killing us. When we need a bit of a spark or some exuberance. Andrew Argent said, what Sarr needs is the fans behind him. He needs a song to gee him up when he's having a tough game or playing really well. I imagine every time Yao Pedro hears his song, it gives him a 5 to 10% boost during the game. A very good point, a very good point. Natasha, who is currently residing, recovering, says, how about David Essex going to make you a star? Natasha, that's from the 70s. You're not really, this is one for the teenagers. We're going to make you a star, Ishmael Assar. I'm not even going to sing. Natasha, I can't do that anymore. No, definitely not. Definitely not. I like that a lot, though. Wendover Horn said he's walking to his car when he gets it. Wendover and Uncle Ron having a little chat with one another. Paul again came back and said, Paul Vianita said, even our club's players get the shit better than Luton forever in our shadow. Nicely done. Mal, hello, Mal. He said, that was really, really exciting. I'm detecting just possibly a hint of sarcasm there. Carl Campion said, dear Father Christmas, I would like a speedy forward similar to Vidra who can go beyond the back 4/3 and play off of Davis. I would like to sign a backup makeshift right back to cover for the injured Gosling and a box-to-box midfielder who uses both feet. I wasn't sure whether or not Santa Claus was actually on Twitter, especially now that obviously Elon Musk's got it. I imagine he'd have definitely a validated account, but there we go. Dean Sherwood, I think people's expectations are too high of this squad. Oh, good, this is a good one. Terrible game, yes, but we're not going to play very well every game. Sorry, not going to play every game well. It's a point away with our weakest 11. We're fourth. Billich now has time with the squad. Hopefully fitness levels increase. Uorns, KMB's worst game yet, though. I like that as the little aside there. That was five words. You could have used that for the five-word review, Dean. Dean's cooking on gas here. I'm liking this. Lubick Lebowski, we heard from Blue Cheese Greg earlier on. Best start of a Do Not Scratch Your Eyes Spaces chat. Rich, thank God. Oh, God, where's he going with this? I've got no idea. Rich's entire call was gold. Rich, you got another fan. For God's sake, could you leave some for us? Gary said, hopefully catch up with everyone at the Hull game. We heard from Gary earlier on. John Parslow said, let's call this honestly an okay away point on what Gosling was calling out and clearly furious about as a dangerous pitch. Yes, the pitch was poor. All players from all clubs are knackered due to this stupid World Cup timing. Anyway, we have England nil draws against Iran and USA to look forward to. Oh, John, I'm glad to hear your wording is back on form as always, mate. I hope you're well. Wendover Horn said, I have zero interest in the World Cup. Paul Fiander Turner said, I have zero interest in this World Cup. Yeah, obviously it is contentious. We heard from John earlier on, who's in the region and saying, you know, do get behind everybody, and Carl echoed that, get behind the team and enjoy it. If you enjoy the football, enjoy the football. Gary said, I'd give advice to Giretta, buy a one-way ticket to Jupiter. Okay, fair enough. Ron's comment was ridiculous mid-season World Cup combined with virtue signalling from players and media rewrites, etc. Either stand up and say you're refusing to play or cover the game in support of gay rights or shut up and respect the culture of Qatar whilst you are a guest of the country. John Parzo's comment was no one can seriously respect a culture that disrespects so many human rights. It's why the World Cup is obviously so contentious this year. We know, we appreciate that, and we'll see from there. Natasha says, Watford team reboot starts now. Bilic can shape the squad to his liking, reward talent, desire, and get them match fit, physically, mentally, and emotionally. This is our pre-season before the season's second half, and we need to make this gold chance work. Well said, well said. Mikey Abrams, probably going to be bored up, but fucking fuming about Goz. Looks like a bad ruptured Achilles. We'll listen later. Well, yes, I think it was Ron said that he possibly asked to come off, and therefore actually his being angry was directed to the fact that he might have felt something earlier on, and if it has ruptured, then it's bad. An Achilles rupture, when it goes, sounds like it can go without any external contacts at all. When it goes off, it's almost like a shotgun going off, because the Achilles is very, very tight and very, very large tendon going over the back of the ankle. Paul Fiander Turner said, two goals conceded out of five with a combination of shite, non-caring makeshift defenders. Eight goals scored out of five with our lauded over super strike force perspective. That's fair enough. All good, all good. Oh, Gary just sent me a little picture of Paul Furlong there. That's nice. I like that very much indeed. What a player he was. A ridiculously good player. We talked about the 90s earlier on. Tim said about it and about how bad it was. I loved the Roda era personally, apart from obviously when it completely went sour at the end. And we had some players such as Paul Furlong to really enjoy. We did have players like Steve Butler and Roger Willis to endure, but hey-ho, what can you do? Oh, Matt said that Luton drew. I hadn't seen that. Damn, I always like it when they lose. TJ, final two, said, Bilic head, HQ said, Gosling will be out for a long time. At least it might make Gino buy a right back. Well done for seeing the silver lining in that particular cloud, because it's a real shame for Gos. He's had to, as we all know, he's had to work very hard to get his opportunity in the team, and he's proved his worth. And for him to be out is heartbreaking. That's a real shame for him. Let's finish with Lee Thomas. He said, defo point one. So a point one rather than point lost, 2 points lost. Bilic has delivered first part of the plan to get us in a strong place before the World Cup break. Now time for Bilic to instill what is expected going forward, and a good January window and players back from injury. That seems to be the majority of what people are seeing and what people are thinking about, kind of from today. It's a point. Is it a game that's going to live long in the memory? No, not at all. Unless you were there and enjoyed the fan zone too much. But it is definitely a point, whereas earlier in the season, as we called out a number of games, we were losing silly games. And I think as it came towards the end, it's one of those things whereby if we had shipped the goal away, all of these calls would have been coming in saying, if you've got a point is something from home, and you don't give it up, you take that and then you go again. We've done that. We've got seven games from those last four games that we discussed previously, and we are in a good position, and we've got to, I think Bilic has had a pretty reasonable start to everything. We're going to have a number of different things going on during the close season. We're going to be having, basically, we challenged the club about various things around being whether or not we were still a family club. And in fairness to the club, we ended up with interviews with Dave Messenger, which will be coming out in a one or a two-parter. I want to make it a one-part, we'll see. And also with the wonderful Anne Swanson. So they'll be coming out shortly as well. We'll be doing other bits and bobs, but I think we will also be convening with a panel to do a review of what we think of the first part of the term, really, or the second part of the term, for once we've got Slav and Bilic in, have a talk, see what we think, etc. Thank you so much for listening, as always. Thank you so much for all of your contributions, be they email, or be they texts or tweets, be they the guys who ring in and chat and let us know what you're thinking.
it is hugely, hugely appreciated. And we think of this all as a big community. And it doesn't matter whether you're in Watford or in the UK or if you're remote and in other parts. Everybody who comes here is basically part of the Watford family, with the occasional guests who come in from other teams. We don't mind those either. And we are all part of a community. We posted up a little note earlier on about the lovely Natasha, who's recovering. So our best wishes go out to Natasha. You'll see the thread. Pop a like on it. Pop a little note there, if you will, to Natasha, just to say get well soon, etc. And we look forward to having her back, because it is all part of a community. And we know that the last few years have been a bit difficult. We've got a World Cup to look at. Obviously, people's opinions of that are going to differ. And that's fine. It's okay for everybody to have a different opinion. It's okay for people to have different thoughts. You just come, you just talk about them, and then we move on, and then we move on. So, guys, thank you so much. Look out for everything else that will be coming out very, very shortly. And we will see you again soon. Cheer on your own.
Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.